KK and KK, Caseland, that's good. It's a blessing. You are a blessing. Well, this morning, of course, I brought the first part of the message. And it's really not a part two, but it's just flushing out even more because I didn't have as much time. And Miss Sydney was praying that I'd have a shorter message tonight than I did this morning. And then had the courage to say so. So I love her anyway. But I would like to point out again of the preciousness of time. And time is certainly a great treasure of life. And I believe if you ask anyone that has gray hair or no hair on the planet, they would agree with that. The time is a great treasure of life. I pointed out that in general plans, you know, we try to plan. Well, you ought to plan. You know, planning is good. It's healthy. That we have 10 years before us, as is my plan. It's been my desire all along to retire somewhere around 70, 72. I know a lot of preachers who try, and they just seem to not be able to. I mean, sometimes I know Brother Wade, he had 5 different men that he worked and tried to bring in, and it was sincere every single time. I promise you, it was sincere, and he was well over 70 by that time. You just don't want to turn your church over to anyone. And sometimes you get to know somebody and you realize, hey, there's some pretty serious character flaws. One just led to a resignation this very day, a pastor's resignation. And it can be very serious. But in truth, as I see it, and what I understand about church ministry, and others in this room understand as well about church ministry. Brother John, by the way, he's down with Jerry in South Texas. I think today is the day Brother John's birthday. A week. Wednesday. Brother John, I think he had a birthday though recently. He's a great cheerleader, and I appreciate him. He understands this as well. About the tragedy of having to start over, you know, go and start over. One of the men years ago, we've had several men that have asked to be trained and others, and some will just had to say no. They didn't meet qualifications for that. One that was a candidate, actually, for the Calvary Baptist Church, which started in Royce City. He had pastored 4 churches, none beyond 5 years. And he was very adamant, very strong-willed person, you know, we'd say a fireball, you know, and praise God for fireballs. I love fireballs. And but he just couldn't seem to hang on to any church for any reasonable period of time and would just leave. And, of course, it's always bad church. It's like your bad dog. You remember the mad dog in the screensaver? Bad dog. He said, oh, bad dog. And it's kind of like that as a preacher. And he's just, you know, it's always a bad church. Anathema, you know, they're opposed to the thing. They don't want to do anything for God, you know, and you hear all that kind of stuff. That's kind of the preacher stuff you hear behind the scenes. And they just bounce from one church to another. And he said, I'm just not so sure that I'm the person for that task. And I said, well, I know you're not. And said, you just can't seem to go anywhere long term. You've yet to learn how to lead. And leading sometimes has to be forceful. I was talking to another preacher just this afternoon about that. Sometimes a shepherd has to have a stick. And he has to protect the flock of God, and sometimes he has to use that stick, and some people are more inclined to use the stick than others. Amen? You can say amen anytime along through here. Make me feel better if nothing else. But one of the great traps of ministry is thinking that things are going to be better if I just move on and start someplace else, and move on and start someplace else, and move on and start someplace else. And they find out, just like that missionary years ago, he was a pastor here in the United States for, I think, 3 different churches, maybe 4. And then he left and he was going to Europe and he wanted to go into missions and wanted to become a missionary and wanted us to support him. And I said, well, what's the problem with you staying at churches? Oh, I just hate conflict. I just hate conflict. And I said, well, you think you're going to go overseas and people there are not going to create any problems for you? You're not going to have anything you're going to have to work through? There you think people over there are not humans. It's just the people on this side of the ocean. They're the problem, you know. And And he says, well, I just don't like the conflict. And I said, well, you're going to have to learn how to work through it. He said, well, are you going to support me? And I said, no. No, I'm sorry. I love you in the Lord, but no, I can't. I can't in good conscience because you haven't learned how to work through things. So one of the great traps in ministry is like just start over someplace else. But by starting over and starting over and starting on, next thing you know, 30 years are gone. 30 years are gone. And some of these guys are yet to learn the lesson. They're burning. They've burned 30 years in the gospel ministry and have yet to learn the lessons. And lose so much in ministry opportunities. 3 years here, 5 years there. The standard, by the way, missionaries, it's a 10-year, but you got to remember the deputation adds a few years up front to that cycle. Well, for pastors here in the United States, it's generally about 7 years. If a pastor can make it beyond the 7, 8, 9 year timeline, there's a very good chance that they can become a long-term or will become a long-term pastor of a church. But so many don't. The average right now is just over 3 years. I was talking to Brother Boat about it this morning. It didn't used to be that. The average is just over 3 years. And congratulations to the Boats, by the way, on the birth of a new grandbaby. We are grateful for that. But it's a tragedy that you think that you're going to aid yourself by starting over. Same thing happens in finances, in investment, or in life, in a ministry. Just starting over all the time. Every time you start over, you get a setback. You get a setback in life. And it takes you time to recover and build back up. And time's lost and you can't ever get that time back. Now back to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to dig in a little bit more here with that tonight, Lord willing. And it starts, of course, in the chapter, Be ye therefore, and of course it takes us back to 4. We'll not do that tonight. Followers of God as dear children. Now, being dear children helps us to have better mental health. And mental health is a big issue these days. There's a lot about food diets and all this other stuff. And I don't know about a lot of that stuff. Everything seems to be fad driven. So I'm not so sure I buy everything. I certainly think we bought some things with the COVID stuff. And I think, but sometimes, you know, you do what you feel like you need to do with a good conscience at that time. And everybody has to be gracious and forbearing with one another. But it seems like we are a little bit gullible when it comes to some of that stuff. But we need to put aside bitterness, as chapter 4 says, and have a better mental and spiritual mental health and outlook on life. And don't carry around baggage. It is very troubling to me when I have to minister to someone that they've been carrying baggage around for 30 plus years. That's a long time to carry around baggage. And it's bad. I mean, some baggage is 5 years old and it's bad. And it's killing them. It's just killing them. But that long-term baggage is like that wound that never has healed and it just keeps popping up. Popping up again and again and again, and people carry around so much baggage. And it's so tragic. They become better at hiding that baggage the longer they carry it around. But it's still there, and it still causes massive problems. And a lot of that baggage is generational, what we pass along to our children. And if we're not careful, we have to be, as first-generation Christians, if you happen to fall in that, I'll be a second-generation Christian. But we have to break those old bad habits, those cycles that are handed down from our parents. Every child needs to recognize the strength of their parents and the weakness of their parents, and to copy or to repeat the strength of the parents without copying the weaknesses of the parent and passing along the garbage that they had and we received. We have to be mindful about that. Don't carry that. But live in a vein of forgiveness to somebody. But you don't understand what they did. Do we understand what Christ went through? Just stop and think about what Christ went through on the cross and how he didn't deserve any of that. And that's the best answer I can give you to get rid of bitterness and evil and wickedness in your heart. It will kill you, absolutely kill you. But it's better to be forgiven and to forgive. Keep the slate clean. Keep the viruses out of the computer. Even the other day, on an Apple device, I had a Windows something pop up. Brother Daniel just called out. It's a network. Called out. You don't have a Windows device. You know, of course, he's very opposed to the Windows stuff, you know. Well, he converted me over. What can I say? He did. But we need to deal with these issues. So the Lord calls on his children to live rather in a life of love. Love. And that's, just, I think it was Brother Colin the other day, in I think it was Sunday school, talked about love as that being that key mark, of course, as you shall know them by the love they have one for another. And we're called to live as the children of God, a life of Christian love. In verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. God was pleased. He's pleased with the sacrifice, pleased with the Son. But fornication, that's any and all egregious sexual misbehavior, all right, conduct, and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know. There's some things they knew. They understood. They didn't have these dilemmas yet in Christianity, wondering who's a part of the right crowd and who's not a part of the right crowd. They didn't have near that, as we seem to have confusion today, that no whoremonger nor unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. The rich man walked away, right? He walked away. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but what's our relationship with them? Reprove them. Reprove them. Don't just buddy up with them and be friends for the next 20 years without reproving them. That's not salt, that's cooperation. You with me? That's cooperation. All you're going to do is get sucked down into the abyss. And by the way, you've got to get to the salt. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Now, I know we have children in here tonight, but we understand with some of these raids that are taking place, and some of the children that are found in some of these places, there is still yet today some of the most despicable things going on in our country. Things that I will not address publicly, especially with children in the room. But we need to know there's really bad wickedness in this land. And what's going on, especially with minors. With minors. Very bad stuff is taking place. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, the first point I made this morning is there are things we do which are sin. They're a violation of God's holy standard, a transgression of the law, transgression of what is morally right by God, God's order. And it's wrong for us to participate and be a part of that. Now, can any single one of us never sin? No, we cannot reach that. Not in this body we can. But we should be striving against it. We ought not to desire to be a part of that lifestyle. We ought to desire not to sin. And frankly, we should be sinning less by and large. Now, we may have times that we kind of, you know, fail more than we would care to admit. And by the way, that's all of us. I said, by the way, that's all of us. But we should be mindful to get out of the ditch, man. Get out of that ditch. I don't belong in the ditch. I'm not the same man I used to be. Get out of the ditch. Get out of the ditch. And by the way, Christians ought to be encouraging others that happen to fall in the ditch to get out of the ditch, man. Don't leave them in there. Well, they deserve it. Well, you deserve it too. I deserve it too. Don't leave them in the ditch. But fornication, verse 3, and uncleanness or covetousness. got a lot of covetousness in our land. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Sometimes having wealth in our nation is easily a curse upon us. It really is. It's easily a curse upon us to be wealthy. And by the way, if you do some research on this, there's not a person in this room that compared to the world over who's not wealthy. There's not. I know enough about your backgrounds. I know enough about your working and your employment. Every single person in here is in that top group. You're in the top group. Every single one of us are in that top group. Let it not be once the name of you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather given of thanks. So many things are hidden within something else to try to make it more palatable for our life. And one of them is, well, I'm just playing. I'm playing. And it is true that we do play. And that's fine. But if we're not careful, the motives change and our motives become corrupt. And next thing you know, it's not just playfulness. Now we're using playfulness to hide something that's ugly. And that's where we've crossed the line. You don't cross the line by playfulness. You cross the line when you dive deeper than that and your motive is then changed and now you're in trouble. But people become masters at hiding, deceiving others with their sin. That's what it's talking about here. Now, if we're not careful, you know, one sin that perhaps is, we would kind of qualify it, is not perhaps quite as egregious as another, but they never seem to work upward. In other words, you never seem to go from a modest sin to an even less modest sin. That doesn't seem to be the way. Leaven will leaven the whole lump. It always seems to go downward, not, you follow me? Downward, not upward. In other words, if you start telling little white lies, don't be surprised if you end up just a bold-faced liar. It's not going to be, well, you're going to go up and likely you're going to tell even less little white lies. No, it always seems like it gets worse, right? Bad behavior doesn't get better, it gets worse. It goes downward, ever downward. And so we have to be mindful about that. And so there is a digression that takes place. When children are born, they're not born whoremongers. They are born sinners. They are born sinners. You just be around them, you'll find out they are born sinners. But they're not born whoremongers. They're not born vagabonds. But they can get there. They can get there. And the Bible says here, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That's bold. That's basically saying, they're not going there. And if you're not going there, you're going there. So first, we need to make sure that we're saved. We need to make sure that we're saved. The preacher will say, are you sure, are you sure, are you sure that you're born again? Are you sure that you're saved? Second, we need to see some fruit in our lives to bear witness of that fact. And if we don't see fruit, you know, some fruit over time, if we don't see fruit borne out in our spirits and in our life over time, there's probably a pretty good chance we're not truly converted to Christ. Because the Bible does say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, we've got to be careful about that because we say, well, how much time? I don't know. To what degree? I don't know, but I know it's a reality. Okay, I know that dynamic is there. Now, we don't like these passages sometimes that say, you know this, they're not going to heaven. We don't like it, but the fact of the remains that a lot of people are not going to heaven who say they're going to heaven. Paul writes about this again and clarifies in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9 through 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Why? What does he say? Be not deceived. Because a lot of people are deceived about it. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's in the book a long time before these guys want to start dressing up as girls. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous. You say, well, it's those weird guys. Well, wait a minute. It's the covetous too. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. You get into leadership and bigger business, and you find there's a lot of shadiness that goes on in high business. A lot of corruption on golf courses, in conference rooms, that grandmothers, Christian grandmothers, would be ashamed of their children leading in those meetings. They'd be ashamed of their corruption. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't write it. That's what God says. And such were, past tense, some of you. You used to be like that. But ye are now washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Number two. There are people and people's organizations which are in the business of tempting or distracting the saints of God. Again, verse 6 and 7, let no man deceive you with vain words. Vain words are empty words, words that do not profit you in your spiritual quest. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Now, we just had this missionary, and he was on staff down there in Jacksonville, Florida. Small world, come to find out. I was raised in a church right there in Jacksonville. We lived in Yulee, Florida. We drove 30 minutes one direction to go to church all my life. And they even way over there, out from west, there's a nut job out there called Steve Anderson. And they had gone and infiltrated a church out there in Jacksonville, Florida, and made basically a hostile takeover of that church. And would then go into churches, now going out and visiting other churches, for the sole purpose of corrupting them. Now, I love everybody, but I just want you to know right now, I nor men in this church will put up with that foolishness. It's just not, there's just some things that are not going to happen here, okay? And bullyism is not going to work here. Okay? If we have to go down, we'll go down. But it's not, I'm just telling you, it's not going to happen. Not here. And I pray it would never happen even after I'm gone. I pray it would never happen. Hostile takeovers of a nation. I think, who was it? I think it was Mrs. Wilson. Rhonda Wilson sent me a picture of, I think it was Lakeside Baptist Church. No, Lake something. It was a little church downtown Garland by Duck Creek. Lakewood Baptist Church. And I know that church. I know some history about that church. And we have policy in our church that will not allow new members to come in and vote until 90 days in the church because of a hostile takeover that they experienced years ago down there by a motorcycle gang. And they had a bunch of guys come in, ruffians, they come in. They took over the church, joined the church. Oh, we're happy. Church is growing. Yeah, but then they fired their good pastor, and they got rid of him, and then they took over the church, hostile takeover of the church. Well, they finally had to take that thing to court, and I would have taken them to court too. I would have declared their loss. Nobody that's saved should be acting like that. I'd take you to court. I ain't going to put up with that foolishness. I'd take you to court. I'm just saying, don't do that. Or if you do, expect me to take you to court. I'm going to draw you out. I won't put up with it. Took him to court, and that judge, a righteous man, said, what do you people think you're doing? You think I was born yesterday? You give them their church back, and you're going to pay fair market value for the rental for all this time. You took their church away from them, spanked them hard, sent them home. Now, I said, well, that sounds like something to learn by. And so that's the reason. That's the very reason. Some of you, Garland, I see you old-timers. That's the reason we have that as a policy in our church. That very thing. Rodney was surprised. I said, I know something about that church. That church is a part of our bylaws. Well, you know, kind of indirectly, but it's there. They're in the business of troublemaking and distracting and tempting God's people. Now, that's one. And so you have to kind of be aware of these things. Now, before him, the largest movement that I can recall that also created distractions and things like that, and it's unfortunate, but it's true, and it needs to be called out, it's the homeschool movement. The homeschool movement. And in my estimation, the homeschool movement is a great thing, but it can have big problems, and it did and still does. There's no such thing as a homeschool church. There is such a thing as a homeschool in your home, but there's no such thing as a homeschool church. Now, if you're so led to educate your children, first, I pray you have the ability to do so. Because frankly, I don't think it's the responsibility of the nation to drag your kids around for the rest of life because you didn't do your job. All right? And have to bail out your kids because you didn't teach them the elementary things of education. You're welcome. Now, second, because homeschoolers do great in education. They first thought when it all took place in the private school, they had the same arguments against the Christian school and the Christian school movement when that got started up. Oh, you're going to have these kids and they're not going to be educated, blah, 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 blah. And then they did better in general than the public school kids. Okay. Then they said the same thing about the homeschooler kids. All these, yeah, there's always going to be some that they just don't want to get up out of bed and teach and do anything. They don't want to take their kids to school, and so they don't do anything. And they're not going to do anything as home educators either. Yeah, there's always going to be that. But they said, well, the homeschool, we're going to have, the education is going to go down. Well, it couldn't go down much further than it already was. I mean, how bad can it get? Well, it didn't turn out to be so bad after all. It turned out to be better than most. It did. I mean, some of you nodding, you know the research, you've done it. And I'm glad, by the way, it seems like states and now even on the federal level, there's some healthy movement towards an appreciation of homeschool and other schools other than the public schools. And I think I have a problem with the public schools, but I do have a problem with the problems of the public schools. But I'm very grateful to now some states are making some favorable movements in this. And competition seems to be good, you know. And if mom and daddy are not pleased with the school where their kids go, I'm thankful if they do have a better option. I'm thankful for that. But the subcultures of each movement are always a danger. There's always sharks in the subcultures. Annette Wycliffe, bless her heart, she gave me a book years ago, and it's written by a fake Indian, who used it as a stick, really, more than Elizabeth Warren did, senator, you know, claiming that she was an Indian. She wasn't Indian. And I was speaking with this man, pretend Indian minister, on the phone one day. He said, well, you just don't understand. Ours is a homeschool church. I said, really? Really? He said, yes, indeed. And I said, well, you know, you mind showing me that in the Bible? Because I never read it. I never read that. I have read the whosoever. I've read a lot about the whosoevers. But I've never read, it's just, you know, weed it all out all the way down to just we, the homeschoolers. Homeschooler church. Well, we decided to deal with that. And it went all the way down. As a matter of fact, he threw the pastor out because he said he really wasn't teaching the church what they needed to be taught. He wasn't the educator, so he was going to assume the role as the pastor of that church. Well, I know blowhard when I hear one. Now, many of these troubled souls end up in a house church because they so abuse the system, abuse people, and they end up with just us four and no more. And they call it a house church without a preacher, which is not a church. Which is not a church. But it's good enough to kind of prop up their agenda, and so there they stay. And they pretend to be something they're not. Beware. Don't be distracted. They're out there. Don't be distracted by them. Before that, the promise keepers came along. Promise keepers came along and they were used by Satan to split many churches. They really were. Now, I think overall, it wasn't a bad parachurch movement as far as the basic tenets, all except the interdenominational stuff. That's got to go. That's got to go. There's no way you can get by Galatians 1 with that, you know, let's get together, yeah, yeah, yeah stuff. But it was an interdenominational parachurch movement. Before that, it was the Gothardites. Well, if you're not going to follow Gothard, well, since when did God turn over his program to Gothard? Any preacher who knew the man said he's a weirdo. Any preacher. And I've used his material. I've studied his material. There's a lot of good material there, but he was a weirdo. And he has been for a long time a weirdo. And any preacher who was ever around him for any period of time, not the people because he put on for the people, but he was a weirdo. Finally got out of his mother's house. Well, but they'd split your church. They split your church. You don't do it just the way we think it ought to be done. Since when did you get to be the authority? A lot of good men then separated when they started doing the Lord's Supper at camps. They said, no, you've crossed the line, man. Well, he crossed the line a lot earlier than that. Crossed the line. Before that, you had the Bob Jonesites. Now, this kind of changed because they no longer have those standards today. They've thrown that all out. But the Bob Jonesites would split your church if you did not exclusively use classical music. Oh, and they were very serious about it. We're very serious about it. If you don't use classical music, you're not of God. That's of Satan. It's not of God. I just kind of say tongue in cheek. I guess God was just wringing his hands and waiting on Mozart to show up before we could ever do church. It's kind of an absurdity answering an absurdity. Right? Right, silliness abounds. If you're not careful, you can get distracted by it. And they clamor for your attention, don't they? They clamor for your attention. They're not doing the main thing, so they got plenty of time to clamor for all these little sideline things. And so they'd work to distract the masses of God's children from the sidelines. It's like the hecklers, you know? It's like the hecklers. Beware. Number three, there are things which can be a trouble to us, a distraction, not sin necessarily, but are not becoming for the saint of God. They're just not becoming. And culture does affect this. Culture doesn't drive this, but culture does affect this. Does that make sense? But fornication, verse 3, and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Going to point it out, things which are maybe lawful may not be expedient. Just not expedient. There's some things I don't do, not because I think it'd be wrong if I did them, I just don't think it's expedient for a person like me to do those things. I just don't think it's very fitting. I don't think it's very productive to do some of those things. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. I'm running out of time. Let me move ahead. I love to fish, and I love to camp. I like to camp a lot more than I thought I liked to camp. When I tried to talk Dorian to go into camp, and it was get a blanket, let's crawl up underneath the car. Well, she didn't like that idea so much. She wanted to go to, you know, hotels at the state park. That's her idea of camping, go to the hotels at the state park and have running water, showers, hot water, and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, we were going to take a mission trip years ago. Remember, the Gunners gave us some points to fly miles and to take a trip. And, man, I wanted to go to the jungles of the Amazon. Give me the anaconda, man. Give me the ants. Give me the jungles, you know. And you always said, oh, no. How about Europe? She wanted to go to Europe. You can love hunting. You can love fishing. You can love camping. And I found out that I did like her kind of camping. Well, not all the way, but, you know, most of it. I liked it more than I thought I did. But those things, you have to be careful of those things lest they get out of control. If they take you away from being a committed, faithful church member, you need to make some changes. And I'll tell you right now, if you don't, you will rue the day that you did. It may not be with you. It may not even be with your children. But don't be surprised when your grandchildren turn out to be vagabonds. Godless souls. See, because the knee bone is connected to the... Yeah. Don't be surprised. So manage those things very carefully, very tightly. Patterns are important to establish. I remember, and I was shocked when Bill Landrum told me that years ago that they were, him and Darlene Landrum, that they got out of church. I'd have never thought. I mean, Bill Landrum was our treasurer for years. I would have never thought Bill Landrum had been out of church. I'd never thought. But he confessed. He said, we were out of church. And it didn't take but 2 weeks to be in out of church to be out of church. I was shocked. I had no idea. It's dangerous. I'm just telling you. It's dangerous, not only for you, but for others. We were not allowed to miss church just for about anything. Even if we had an invitation from another Christian to come to our church and see our special program, we were not allowed to do so. And my parents would say, we're going to our church. This is our church. That's not our church. This is our church. Now, that was instilled in me. And when I get an invitation or whatever to go out and preach, you know, I temper that immediately. Well, that's not my church. This is my church. What if you felt like, what if my schedule and my being out demonstrated you a question of whether I was loyal to this church? You think that might kind of go down hard? Kind of be hard to swallow? You think it might create maybe a spirit of question at minimum? Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would. Why is it we want that of our preacher? We don't want that of our own selves as faithful members in the house of God. I mean, in reality, would you not agree if it's good for the preacher, it ought to be a pretty good standard for the church folk? I'm not talking about the grandbabies are getting. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about looking for that opportunity, just being so flippant about it, to be out, to be away from where you belong. This is where I belong. Right? Now, you would say that, but do you say that about yourself? Number four, there are definitely things we should invest our time in, which are the will of God for the sincere believers who are seeking to redeem the time. We see that walking, following God, to pursue God, that they may know Him. And as dear children, walk in love, for Christ first loved us. You know, good kids want to please their godly parents. Good kids. I'm not talking about vagabond kids. I'm talking about good kids. Good kids want to please their mom and dad. They want to honor their mom and dad. They will even protect their mom and dad. Don't talk about my mama, right? I mean, you remember the days, your mama jokes? Your mama wears combat boots, and it would go downhill from there. Let me tell you that. It'd go downhill. And I went to public school, so let me tell you, it went downhill real fast. Real fast. But your mama does this, your mama, you know, and it's just, I'm not going to go, I better stop right there. It's just going to go on automatic, you know, going to go on autopilot, and I'll be in trouble. I'll be looking for another job. But good kids want to honor their parents. If you say something about my mama, I mean, there were fights years ago in school, even in public school, there were fights, and you didn't get kicked out necessarily, you know. Now, if you pull knives and stuff like that, you're probably going to get in a little trouble for that. Not necessarily, but you might. Just saying. But we didn't like somebody talking about our mama. We didn't like it. And there are a lot of fights on our campus. Somebody said something ugly about somebody's parents. You say that about my mama, it's on, man. It's on. And it's not one of these things, I'm going to type something out on social media and embarrass you. No, I'm going to poke you in the nose. There's no keyboards around to harass somebody from the shadows of your basement. There's nothing like that. So if you're going to get in somebody's groceries, you had to do so physically or it wasn't going to happen. It's a kind of put up or shut up kind of one of those things. But good kids want to honor their parents as they should. As they should. Even be protective of them. And as good Christian children, and we are God's children, right? We should want to be protective of the honor of God. Protect His honor. I was talking to a preacher today, and he's dealing with some things. That's, you know, and I've talked to Brother Colt and all these other young preachers, talked to Garrett last week. And you got to remember, one of your jobs is to protect the church. Protect the church. Protect the church. It's sort of like the knights of old. Protect the king. Protect the king. Protect the king. All costs, even your life. Protect the king. Right? Protect the king. Law and order, same thing for law enforcement today. Protect. Serve. Protect the king. Protect the church. Protect in honor of God. We're the children of God, and as such, we ought to be following Him as dear children, responsive to His word. Yes, sir. No, sir. I rented out a home. It's been kind of a longer time to have a home not rented out, you know. And finally got somebody to rent that out, and he says, I'm kind of old-fashioned, you know, preacher, and I teach our kids, I have three girls, I teach our girls, and a yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And I'm like, no problem here. I guarantee you no problem there with me. Seeking to follow the Scripture. Again, verse 4, filthiness. Walk as children of light, verse 8, 9. Fruit of the Spirit, walk circumspectly, verse 15. Understand what the will of the Lord is, 17. Be filled with the Spirit. Of course, in Galatians 5, 16. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then, number 5, God has given us aids to better live by those aids. Being together, just being together right here, reminds me to live right. The songs we sing, the lyrics in those songs remind me to live right, to see Christ aright, to see my relationship with Him aright. Praying together, where we bow for prayer, the people of God praying together. Some of the sweetest times is praying together. Meetings together, even more than just in church, in our homes, being hospitable. You know, we were out there helping the Schroeders move and tired, it was a long day, and Jenny Lynn, she's a good pianist, she's in there playing. Man, it's just soothing to my soul, you know. Good songs, and I know the lyrics. And I went sound asleep, and somebody was ugly enough to take a picture of me over there. I won't tell you who it is. But the sweet things in our homes, and the sharing of our homes, and sharing of our lives with one another. Miss Susan Yokel makes a fine chicken in a pot. I don't know what it's called, but she could tell you. But I tell you this, it's good eat. Miss Sherry Carr is a wonderful cook too, and country cooking. And it's really good. Treats on the desk are always a light, cookies and more. Newfound slushies. Slushies are in. Special drinks from the Smith family, their household, that heals all pains, cures all things. It's like the new snake oil stuff, they believe anyway. There are so many men who have no special office but are used of God to encourage me on. They're not necessarily officers in the church. They don't have to be, but they're solid rock encouragers. Many ladies with their tenderness, special tenderness that only ladies have, and they should. Makes all the world and all the difference in the world. Even the children here who are being sought to be ministered to. I mean, you know, even Sophie, you know, so as Audrey come in, Sophie, of course, right behind her, and sometimes it's reverse order. They come in and they come to tell me the joke of the day. They, you know, it's a good joke. And then Audrey asked, "Preacher, did you get a nap?" But what's she concerned about me getting, you know? But what a caring soul. Did preacher, did you get a nap today? You know, maybe she thought it was the long sermon too. you know, she loves the long sermon too. But they're also a delight. I see so many, but I saw one lady who was trying to leave the desk waiting on Miss Dory. You know, and this particular young lady walked outside and opened the car door to get in the car, and she flipped her legs up, you know, kind of like that, you know, flipped her legs up and took her shoes off one at a time. Of course, you got to stand on something. She took off one shoe and then the other, and she took off one shoe and threw it in the other side of the car. And I said, what in the world's going on, you know? Look how she's mad at those shoes or something. She flipped the other foot up, and she took that one and threw that one in the other side of the car and climbed under the steering wheel and drove the wrong direction. And I said, well, that way's the way out. She wasn't going out. She was going around something else. But I wouldn't tell you who she is, but she drives a little silver car. She parks over here on this side of the church most days these times. And her name's Melissa. Thank the world of her. Love her to death. She ministers to so many people here, and it's just so natural. Just so, no put on to it. No put on. She may do it, but she's gotten so good at it, she's got me snookered. giving thanks together, singing, testimony, submitting yourselves one to another. Sharing trials, tribulations, and working through things, bringing you together. Submitting one to another. That's not always either always easy for a strong-willed people. It's not easy for strong-willed people, strong-willed persons, to submit to authority. Listen, I recognize that. I understand that firsthand. But it's God's way. It's God's order. And if you don't do that, you're out of order. Yet I'd rather have an occasional blip on the radar with a strong-willed person than not have the strong-willed person in our numbers. Does that make sense to you? I'd rather have a little bumps in the road by having good, strong-willed people in our numbers than not have the little bumps in the road, because you're going to get more accomplished by the strong-willed people. Amen. You understand that? A lot of people are intimidated. They just can't stand it. No, but we just need to stay in line. And sometimes we have to encourage that a little bit more than other times. Becomes more of a management issue for you managers. Such as in 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. And the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Do these things together. Accountability, fellow saints, is good. And then we end, of course, in number 6, the great occasion for those who are not redeeming the time to do so. Now, again, to redeem is to buy back, to use time more wisely, to understand I can't get more time, but I can, in a sense, get more time. But only in a sense. A cannot be B and non-B at the same time and in the same sense. Aristotle's non-contradiction. Some of you in these next 10 years will be transitioning, not that kind of transition. You've got to be careful about those words these days. Can't you imagine what it's going to be like in 20 years? You're not going to be able to say anything. AI, Brother Daniel, is going to say everything for you anyway. You don't have to say anything. But some of you are going to be transitioning into retirement in the next few years. And during these next 10 years, others will be entering from more lower status and entry-level work into more substantial leadership positions and in the workforce. The little ones will be well on their way towards growing up, and yes, some will be of our number will be joining the Lord on the other side during those 10 years. I'm not a novice. I've been doing this a while, and we know that's going to be a reality. But if that's not the case, and by the way, and I could be in that number. I told my sister, she says, do you have sleep apnea? My wife swears that I do. She says, you hold your breath for a long time in the night. Then you kind of like that. You know, and she says, that's what I've got. My sister says, you need to go to the doctor. And I said, well, my wife's already told me what I've got. Why do I need to go to the doctor? I must already. So I told my sister, I said, you got one of those breathing machines? She said, yeah. I asked Mike, I said, you got one of those breathing machines? He said, yeah. And I said, do you use them? No. And I said, here's $45, send one to me and I'll try it out. Somebody says, you're not supposed to do that. Well, I didn't say anything about it. Did I say anything about that? I didn't say anything about that. But hey, I'll try. What's it going to hurt? It's just air blowing in your face. I get that with riding a motorcycle. Give me a break. Get off my case. So I may be in that number that's passing on the other side. That's very well may happen. By the way, if that does happen, I've instructed Brother Rick as well as Brother Daniel to implement things and to take care of Miss Dory. You didn't know that. I know preachers that have done any kind of preparation for their own wife and died of a heart attack, and their wives are nowhere. They're lost. They have nothing. They have no guidance, no care, no oversight, nothing. Nothing. And I want you to know that's wrong. That's wrong. If it's my wife needs to be cared for. If I can't do it, there's going to be others appointed to do so. Instructed in what to do. Set things up to take care of her. But if I'm still kicking around this place, in about 5 years of running on into the future, Lord willing, we'll then transition and start looking for a contact of the man of God that would become, or who would become, the next pastor of this church. We don't have somebody here for 3 years. That's not my desire, and I don't think that's any sensible person's desire. I don't care if they're good looking and can sing real good, a lot better than me. That's not the one you want. I promise you, that's not what you want. You'll destroy the things of God. But someone in here for the transition and then on into the futures together. Now you understand that plans are only as good until the first shot is fired. You know, then all the plans are gone. It's all out the door and you do the best you can. But I do think we need to have a general plan. And I want you to know, I have a general plan. All right? And in 5 years, we'll start looking towards that, because ministry is slow, hard work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. And yes, we want to start looking for somebody that we could transition in and transition out. Yeah. And that's the plan. And that's a plan for people who want to be wise, who want to be prudent about life and about ministry. And it's important to me to try to plan well and be wise in the doing of it. And if we're going to be redeeming the time, I think that's a portion, that's at least a part of what that would mean, to transition to that. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, if I had more time, we'd talk about how evil these days are. I've already mentioned a few of them. We live in a wicked world. And we better learn how to rally the troops and circle the wagons, so to speak. Love on one another, help one another, forgive one another, forbear one another. You put up with me, I'll put up with you. Kind of like that one thing. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. And let's keep on together serving the Lord, because you can become so fractured, next thing you know, you're in no man's land. And you don't talk about misery. Listen, some that have left our numbers, not all, but some who have left our numbers are in misery. They're out of church. Nowhere. They don't go nowhere. They don't go to rock and roll church. They don't go to nothing. What's that teaching their children? What's that teaching their grandchildren? The worst of lessons. The worst. It doesn't have to be that way. And it will not be for those who are redeeming the time. So, I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that group. I want to be a part of that group that's striving, imperfectly, yes, but striving to redeem the time, because certainly, without question, you don't have to go far these days to see the wickedness of this world. The days are evil. So let us be mindful, let us be careful. Let us provoke one another. Let us love one another. We indeed are the children of the family of God. So we ought to act like it. Let's stand.